This is truth be told.
That not only are there reptilians here,
new evidence of UFO fleets.
We were close to nuclear war.
To help you transform so that you can live your highest truth.
We're not being told just because we're not ready for it.
Geostations of frequency, vibrational.
I was a homicide detective with LAPD.
UFOs increase. Visitations. On Truth Be Told, we've talked about many species of aliens. It seems that we talk mostly about the gray aliens. Well, today we're going to have author and editor Danielle Silverman talking about a book that she worked on with the late Nigel Kerner. Unfortunately, he's passed away, but he's left a legacy of books. Gray Aliens and the Harvesting of Souls, The Songs of the Grays, and then, of course, the latest, Gray Aliens and Artificial Intelligence. We're going to talk about the agenda behind the biorobotic gray aliens and genetic manipulation on the human race and how their quest captures human souls. This should be an interesting topic. So let's get started. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios for the first time, author and editor Danielle Silverman. Hello, Danielle.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Very happy to be here.
Oh, my gosh. I am excited about this. We love talking about aliens on Truth Be Told. And, you know, even though we're a smorgasbord of paranormal, we always go back to the roots of UFOs and the aliens. But, well, before we get started, like I said in the intro, Nigel Kerner passed away. And could you give us a brief synopsis of who he was so people can kind of get to know his journey on how he got to start writing these books? And then we'll dive right into the book itself.
Absolutely. So Nigel was, before he got into the subject of the alien phenomenon, he was a really scientific based mind, and he'd studied medicine, and he was very, very strictly scientific in his outlook. And one day his young son, who at that time was 12 years old, asked him a question, and he said, "Well, Dad, are UFOs real?" And he respected his son's mind because he was an intelligent boy and always asking very deep questions. So he thought, okay, I'm not going to dismiss this. I'm going to look into it and see if I can answer his question. But he was pretty sure he was going to come to the conclusion that it was all a load of nonsense, because at that time, Nigel himself didn't believe in it. he just thought it was all just science fiction,
right,
nonsense and stories.
Okay. Right.
So, but then he took a closer look at the subject. He looked at the research that had been done at that time, which was quite a while ago, actually. That was in the 80s. And he also looked at some reports of abduction witnesses, contactees, and so on. And he thought to himself, well, this does look as though it's a genuine phenomenon, because these are ordinary people who have nothing to gain in most cases. Of course, you do get people who want attention and will make up stories just to get in the limelight, and there's all of that. But there were also very sort of salt of the earth people who had reported this phenomenon and described it in such detail. And this also, what he noticed is that those details were common amongst many different people. Also, even came from children who couldn't even know what any kind of coverage that was on the media about the UFO phenomenon, and just be repeating it, or in countries where there was no knowledge of this. So he also he'd had a look at the past and the historical record of UFOs, which even in Aboriginal cave paintings from thousands and thousands of years ago, they have pictures of what they call the Wangina, which look exactly like greys, exactly the same, no different.
Right.
So, and of course, as I'm sure many of your listeners know, all throughout history, there has been some kind of phenomena going on. Way back in the ancient Hindu texts, they talk about vimanas, you know, flying spacecraft.
Right, exactly.
In the sky, when there was no such thing as spacecraft thousands and thousands of years ago, powered by mercury, of all things. So, and that's something actually that today, many abductees have spoken about this connection with Mercury. So he looked at all of that, and then he began to ask himself, well, if this is real, what is it? What's going on here with the these sightings? Why would an alien intelligence be interested with incredible technology, as it obviously has, can travel at ridiculous speeds, more than anything, way more than anything our technology can do? Why would they be interested in us when we must be to them a relatively primitive species?
Right.
With in terms, technologically speaking, anyway. Okay. And it just didn't make sense to him. He was trying to figure that one out. So he thought to himself, well, if it's if they want something from our planet, then they could just take it. It would make no sense that they would appear to people, be involved with people, do genetic experiments
right.
with people. That would make no sense. So that one didn't seem to hold any water. The other possibility, well, do they want our DNA? Are they interested in us for some kind of scientific experiment? If that was the case, he thought, well, why would they continually monitor us, take fresh samples all the time? So abduction, for example, it runs in families, and the same individual also will be abducted many, many times. Why constant samples? What's going on? That one sample is enough to make a clone, for example, if that's what they're doing. So he just couldn't really make sense of what was going on with this phenomenon, which seemed to him, much to his surprise, to be true. There was definitely something going on here. So what it occurred to him, what he began to think must be happening or could be happening, he came to that conclusion from looking at the type of being or type of entity right. that seemed to be visiting us, these gray aliens. So according to everyone who's had contact with them, they don't seem to have any emotion. So abductees report these experiments being done on them, and the beings conducting these experiments, they don't seem to have any concern for pain or that they're inflicting on their subjects. They seem to be totally confused by human emotion. It's just or not confused, but just it goes straight past them.
That sounds like politicians.
Yeah. You could be onto something there. Right. Yeah. Okay. So he was so really what these entities seem to be is more some kind of biological robot. Okay, not some kind of living being like us, but a biological robot. Okay, that is just an artificially intelligent entity without any kind of awareness or consciousness, just fulfilling a program, but in an intelligent way. Okay, so that's how he interpreted what these gray aliens must be. Then he thought to himself, well, where do these gray aliens come from? What kind of civilization would have sent them here? So he looked at our technology and what we're doing now and how we send out probes into space to find out, to go to places that we can't physically go in space and find out the nature of space, see if that's maybe a place where if there are locations in space where if we destroy our planet, mm-hmm. we could live. That's what people are looking at now. So if we're doing that with our relatively primitive technology compared to this incredible technology that these alien visitors seem to have, he reasoned that there must be other locations in the universe at which there are civilizations which have way surpassed us in terms of technology. And even mainstream science now totally accepts that there's absolutely no way we're the only planet with life. I mean, it would just be totally ridiculous. They have these Goldilocks zones, special areas where life is possible. And there are just millions, if not billions,
I think
of other
locations. With James Webb Telescope, I'm sure that's going to even open up more doors.
Yes,
to. I've had a couple people from NASA and other places that said, you know, 40 years ago, there was just a few hundred planets that they thought there were. Now there's thousands, and now there's going to be hundreds and millions, and of different planets, and just a, you know, some a percentage of those will have the atmosphere to, you know, have life like the Earth. So yeah, it's pretty much unlimited to know what's out there.
yeah, for sure. So to move on with that thesis that Nigel was developing, if we have developed probes, the kind of probes that they would have developed mm-hmm. would have a technology way in advance of anything we can produce, and would be able to send out something into the universe to an artificially intelligent programmed entities who can explore locations in the universe, perhaps, where they could download what they were as a civilization. So I think it would be a mistake to imagine that they're literally those beings who created the gray aliens are literally imagining that their physical selves, just as our physical selves now, would exist on another planet in their current state, because they wouldn't be able to travel those distances. So this, even to get to the closest planet to Earth would involve traveling at light speed, beyond the speed of light, and any kind of natural physical life would be destroyed. Okay.
Wow.
So just as unbelievably, and this is, I've spoken about this before on various radio shows, because it really does blow my mind that people imagine that they can download everything they are as a consciousness onto a hard drive. And I believe there are some organizations which are doing that for people now, that they record their thoughts, their awareness. They take recordings of them speaking about their lives, put it all onto a hard drive, and people imagine that they will go on
mm-hmm.
and live on beyond death in that kind of software program. Okay, so it's Nigel's belief, mine also, based on what I can only see is reasonable logic, that that program would have no awareness, no consciousness. There would be nobody there to be aware of it. It's just a program, like a hard drive that you have on your computer.
Right.
It's honestly, they're not going to be there. But this advanced civilization, just as we are going towards that kind of sense of loss of humanity, human connection, and a sense of us as aware beings that cannot be reproduced in an artificial format, they would have gone completely into the artificial format. They would have reduced themselves purely into a program, a software program that they would send out into the universe, hoping that they could spread that knowledge, that information, which was them, and they would exist on in some other location in the universe. The gray aliens, Nigel Koerner believes, carry that program. They are there to spread that program and make it last and survive.
Wow. Well, there are some people in the chat room that would love to ask questions. I'm going to wait just for a second. But, like I said, we've talked so many times about how, the Anunnaki that came to the Earth and, DNA entangled us into their DNA and, kind of created what man is today. But they mostly used us for, more slaves. What was Nigel's thought of, did he ever touch on the Anunnaki?
Yes, exactly. So in the Nag Hammadi texts, the texts that were found, these scrolls that were found had ancient texts from the New Testament. They speak about the Archons, which are very similar to the Anunnaki. And in the Old Testament, you've got the sons of God coming into the daughters of men, all of those. So in so many cultural scenarios and so many religions, you've got this story of something like this happening. Exactly. And so, yes, absolutely. That is exactly what seems to have been happening throughout the ages, all over the world, in so many cultures, that there has been some kind of interception from another civilization, And looking at the gray alien phenomenon, it seems to be an artificially intelligent form of interception with the most remarkable types of technology.
Well, I'm going to ask this question from the chat room, and then I'll add to it. It says, I've heard on other podcasts and shows that gray aliens are us from the future. What do you think? But I'm going to add on to that, where the new book, you know, Gray Aliens and Artificial Intelligence, well, there might be, we talk about the gray aliens might be artificially intelligent beings. But, I mean, here on Earth, you know, Elon Musk and other people have warned about AI, you know, taking over our future, not just our jobs, but, you know, if they ever do get to the point of thinking and feeling and, you know, comprehending like a human, why would they need humans on this planet, which could lead into us as the future and then coming back and doing research on us? What is your thoughts, or what is Nigel's thoughts on that?
Yeah, so that's a very great question. And that's actually the biggest theme of Nigel's new book, because we're moving so close towards that future, the same future that those planets who made those alien, those gray alien artificial intelligent entities, we're heading in exactly the same direction. And it's Nigel's theory that they are actually inspiring us to move in that direction, because they are, that what they need to do is recreate their artificially intelligent network on amongst us. And that brings me to a very interesting thing, which is the core of all three of Nigel's books. And that is, why do they need to do that? Why is it necessary for something so beyond us in terms of intelligence and in terms of technology? Why would they want to do that?
Yeah,
it's a question that's rarely been asked. And I think only Nigel's probably, he way back in 1997 with his first book, he did ask this question. I think also he was the first one to say, these are machines, you know, these are roboidal creatures. And I think right now people are coming to the same conclusion. So that's the really, really interesting question. Why would they bother? And it's Nigel's theory, based on a whole existential idea about the nature of what human beings are as natural beings, whereas these entities are synthetic, artificial. Okay. So it comes down to this point that these gray aliens, because they're artificially intelligent, would not have awareness, okay? They would not have consciousness. They would not be, they can compute, they can have the most incredible intelligence and be way more intelligent than us, just like the quantum computers that are being created now on our planet, right? It can go way beyond us. And I think you're quite right to see that threat in terms of they could most definitely take over. And I was actually, I've just made a little note of this because I was just reading that one of the fathers of AI said at some stage we would have to expect the machines to take control. And all those what were science fiction films in the 1950s, they didn't come out of nowhere. They were sparked by the inventors, people, the scientists inventing this technology, saying it could go out of control. And unfortunately, it has this science fiction quality now because it was in stories. But Stephen Hawking has said the same thing.
Right.
Elon Musk says it, but very interestingly, he said it's a terrible, terrible threat, right? These gray aliens. Sorry, not gray aliens. Technology, artificial intelligence, is a terrible threat. What are we going to do? It's we all need to be aware of this. And then he said, I know, if you can't beat them, join them.
Which is,
and he said, and he wants to convert us into something exactly the same with this Neuralink, his Neuralink idea. So there's something about us, Nigel said, that is completely different to what these artificial entities are. That's what in religion is commonly termed a soul. okay, a connection to something beyond the physical.
Right.
And what Nigel explains in his three books is that that connection is the only thing that allows us to be aware and conscious. The reason why natural life is aware and conscious and has a viewing point against which it can view the universe mm-hmm. is because it has something still, something outside of the universe, something outside of time, something timeless to reference the universe against. Otherwise, we wouldn't be conscious. So if you're, for example, if you imagine a stick going down a flowing water of a river,
mm-hmm.
that river, that stick is... can't be conscious that stick can't be conscious of past, present and future because it's always in the present. It's always going down the river. If you're still and standing on the riverbank, you can see the stick moving down the river. You know past, present and future. You know time. Our consciousness is all to do with time. One point, next point,
right.
next point. Without that perception of stillness, and stillness comes from a timelessness,
right.
a state of perfection, a state of perfect union where there's no separation of points and no time, we wouldn't have consciousness, we wouldn't have awareness. And that is the absolutely crucial point that's central to all of Nigel's books. And he says that's what they're after, that one ingredient that is not attainable by them. That's what fascinates them with us.
The soul. So do you think the soul is something they want to attain for themselves to try to figure out how they can it's almost like a cloning in some ways, you know, taking a DNA you don't get the same soul, but are they trying to take the soul from themselves or trying to just understand of taking the soul to control more?
Great question. Really good question. And it throws up the most amazing paradox. So basically, as artificial entities, they're just atoms, basically. Mm-hmm. They can't touch the soul. They can't get anywhere near it. How can you can't? There's
Probably
no,
irritates
it's
them.
Like oil and water, right?
Yeah.
It's absolutely impossible for them to actually grasp a soul, okay, and study it. So to speak, look at it under their microscope, mm-hmm. dissect it. Okay. Totally impossible. So Nigel defined a soul as a line of connection back to that state of perfection. Okay. He said that that's what gives the coherence that produces life. Okay. So I'm just going to read something here, a little note that I
yeah,
some
please.
Research with, which might be interesting. So a Berkeley chemist, Birgitta Whaley, studied the remarkable facility that living systems have to tap into the coherence of the quantum. She said, when isolated quantum systems open up and interact with their atomic environments, they rapidly decohere. That's break up, decohere, okay? Decoherence is the main obstacle to building a quantum computer. Yet somehow living states can tap into a coherent state. We don't understand all the details, but in the biological domain, nature does not appear to show the typical paradoxes associated with information processing in quantum physics. So there's something in living systems that is coherent and is not subject to the cast iron law of physics that governs the entire universe, called the second law of thermodynamics or entropy, which basically means everything breaks down. If you leave a car, it ends up as a pile of rust. We rot as we grow older and die. Okay, it can't be broken, that law. That's a cast iron law of physics, but there's something coherent about life. So this scientist was talking about quantum computers and how they don't seem to be able to find that coherence, which they need for quantum computers. That's what these grays are. They're quantum computers. They're looking for that coherence. They're looking for that sense of order that will stop their data their information field breaking up, their artificially intelligent program breaking up. Because in an entropic universe where everything is breaking down, their information field will also break down. Okay, so they have noticed, by however our souls, our what we, you could call our non-atomic, non-force selves, is making some kind of imprint, coherent imprint on the physical. They can only read the physical, okay? But they see a fingerprint that makes it coherent. And they're trying somehow to latch into that, because if they can piggyback on that, they can stop their information field breaking down. We've lost sound.
Working with Nigel, sorry, I muted because I had to cough a second ago. Working with Nigel, what was his thought and your thought on the creation of these aliens? Because we, you know, we've heard of the Nordics, you know, Greys, many thousands of different types of species of aliens, but when we are here on Earth, call the Creator. Do we call the Creator the Anunnaki or the Greys, or are we calling something the Creator that who created aliens or the Greys also? Has he or you done research on where you guys feel that they came from, or who created these intelligence?
What he said was they came from highly technological advanced civilizations. Okay. There's also an explanation which I can't really go into here, because some people would need to have a look at the book to understand this. It's too complex to explain in a short interview. But they also are, to an extent, a creation of our own motivations and momentums towards a technological future where we sacrifice humanity and human value for the sake of a virtual existence. So basically, it was a great... I never really properly answered your question earlier about how the Greys are our future. That's exactly true. We are heading in exactly that same direction now. Everybody's basically... Not everybody, but the vast majority of people in the West are living through social media, living virtual lives. Human connection is being is becoming less and less and less as we become more and more just basically living off likes and dislikes on a screen.
Right.
And it's getting to the point eventually where you have people like Elon Musk talking about Neuralink, chips being inserted into us, brain machine interfaces. It's heading in that direction. And we, in a way, are making our own gray.
I guess that would make sense, because if you think about it, if we've learned enough, like you said, the soul is very hard to transfer, but memory may not be into into a gray, where in the future we might be able to say, you know, I'm 99 years old, I'm about to die, but I can transfer my thoughts, even maybe feeling, but more thoughts into an artificial intelligence. And then they learned how to do time travel and then come back. And now they're trying to figure out, how do I get the soul of the human? So, I mean, that's could be a theory. But
good. Very interesting. I can see where you're going with that. And I think you're right, because what's happening is, at least according to Nigel's thoughts, as expressed in his, especially in his third book, the one that's just come out, what we're doing, we're basically willingly downloading everything about us.
We are.
Onto the internet. Literally, we're throwing it out there. We can't get it out there quick enough.
Right.
And what's basically happening is not that they are actually touching our souls and grasping them. We are outsourcing our souls into them.
Yeah.
Okay. We're giving it to them.
Right.
We're converting our natural human glory, with imagination, creativity, the ability to love, to care. We're converting all of that into an artificial situation of just information.
I mean, if you
we
think
are becoming of, information.
Yeah, and if you think about it, we always say Hollywood usually creates the future, meaning we see these, you know, Star Wars and all these shows in the 70s when we weren't even close to, well, we thought we weren't close to that technology, but I'm sure behind the scenes they were. But and then, you know, in 2022, we pretty much created majority of it other than the long distance space travel. But I mean, it's like, you mean Hocus Pocus, where the witches, you know, suck the soul from the children to bring them into a younger, you know, keeping them young for a longer period of time. So, I mean, yeah, that's it. I feel Hollywood sometimes talks about our future.
That's the thing. And so often in, I mean, the Black Mirror series, for example, so many of these Hollywood or any movies and what seems like fiction, they are tapping into something that is going on. So often, I mean, so often fiction has come true. We saw with the pandemic recently, it was very similar to George Orwell's 1984 with the kind of control that was going on, state control, people being thrown off YouTube for saying things, or even esteemed scientists for saying anything about anything anti the vaccines, the lockdowns and so on. So, yeah, it happens for sure. But the interesting thing, so maybe I ought to explain here that the key thing about what happens and why not with the soul and why Nigel's books are both titled about the harvesting of souls. And so the point is, Nigel believes that when we die, we go. So, and as many people who have had near-death experiences have described, you go to a place which he called the space between atoms, a place of lesser force, in between the no force of heaven, and the force of physical life. There's a like an in-between, with various gradations of force, either closer to atoms or closer to heaven. And there's no directive God saying, you can do this, you can go there and you can go there, or St. Peter at the gates saying the good people go this way and the bad people go that way. You just go where you naturally are. So if your thoughts are naturally more invested in what is of heaven, so human connection, love, what all the great teachers spoke about, you will naturally drift more in that direction. If your motivations and your thoughts and everything you believe in is more material, more in terms of the physical, and you identify with the physical, for example, living through the internet solely and forgetting the power and the importance of the connections you make with people, that's just one example, then you won't be able to go to that less force state. You'll hang around the edges of the atoms where there's still force. It's those edges that the grays can tap into because they are slightly force. You don't quite get away from force. And that's what he meant when he spoke about the harvesting of souls. Because we are so focused and we're being drawn in to this virtual, purely material existence, and only living through a material, artificial outlook, we will be held there. When we die, we won't be able to go to the less force place that so many near-death experience report as the most beautiful, incredible place where they feel a love they've never felt before. And they come back and they change their lives based on it.
Right.
Interestingly, there are some negative near-death experience, hellish near-death experiences, where people describe something very similar to an abduction, an alien abduction. Some people see the gray, some people see the shiny edges of metal. So there's something going on there that is very much akin to an alien abduction for some people when they die.
Yeah, my
near-death experience.
Well, my grandfather had near-death before I was even born, and you know, talked about the light and all that stuff. And I mean, it does kind of make you feel like it ties into, like you said, going into another dimension where, again, maybe the Greys, they want to experience that, because if they don't die...
They can't experience... Exactly, they don't die. Exactly, they can't get anywhere near it. In fact, they can't experience. So it would be wrong to imagine them as beings like us, I feel, okay?
Yeah.
If Nigel's theories, if I've understood Nigel's theories correctly, this is what he would say at least, they're not not beings. They're just data. They're no different to our hard drive, a computer.
Right.
He always used to say a Hoover. Okay. So the most basic form of natural life is superior to them.
Well, I mean, if there is a higher creator, which it sounds like there probably has to be, you wonder the job of the Greys, you wonder what that job is, and if they've kind of branched off and went out on their own, like you said, seeking more of a connection that humans have, or beings, because there has to be other planets out there that have beings like us that, you know, may look different, may worship their gods differently, but they all still experience the death and the transition of our souls. So, I guess that's probably going to be the age-old question is, you know, what is their... the agenda. In fact, Mark in the chat room was saying, I often hear people who are close to this subject that are obviously that there are a high chance of aliens, but they are so beyond our capacity or capable intelligence that they don't consider us worthy. And it would be equivalent to humans finding a random anthill. But I have to say that might be true, but even like National Geographic, they do full documentaries on anthills and go inside the anthills and look at the queen bee or queen of the anthill and how they work together and how they protect each other. So, I mean, I guess it would be like, if it is true, aliens probably do almost a documentary about who we are and how we function, just like National Geographic does.
Similar, yeah, good point. And similar in some ways, but also I think we're more than ants to them. We're not just an interesting, so it's not like just documenting another lesser species. We have something they want, or they just, honestly, they wouldn't waste their time. They'd have much, much more, at least that information. So I keep saying they, but they is really the wrong way to look at it. It's much better to look at it just as an artificially intelligent data field that's always seeking to grow and become and learn more and always seeking to keep its coherence and survive. So it's like a network spreading out through the universe and trying not to break down, okay, which any artificially intelligent setup would have that kind of program to survive and to and to grow in its intelligence.
Well, how I mean, it you know, it's sad to hear about Nigel's loss, but what is your plan to keep his legacy alive? I know his books are there, and they're definitely going to be, you know, the books that you've got guys worked together on. But are you planning on continuing the research and, you know, putting your own books out there, or is there a team of people, or how?
Absolutely. So so not so much my own books, because they will be, so Nigel's theories are the underbase of this. These are not my theories, they were his theories, okay? But I discussed them with him, and we kind of fleshed them out together, and I did research for him, which backed up what he seemed to be thinking, and it made sense. But he has actually left behind the possibly enough material for another 2 or 3 books.
Wow.
So what I would have to do is put that together into a format that would be understandable and sensible, and just quote what directly came from him and put it together with my own words somehow. But yeah, I do have to stress, this is his work. This is not mine. I'm just the, I was the colleague and researcher, but these
now
are
you're
ideas.
A messenger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, Kevin in the chat room, before we have about 8 minutes left, but Kevin in the chat room asked, he goes, so is this data controlling itself or is it someone controlling it? What is your thoughts on that?
Good question. I would imagine that those civilizations that created these entities in the first place probably destroyed themselves or just don't exist anymore and sent out these artificially intelligent entities into space to just carry them into the future, so to speak, under the illusion, as so many people on our planet are right now, that it's possible to carry themselves into the future, because unfortunately they would not be there in
right.
this program to
right.
even appreciate it. And I just cannot understand how it's there are people who don't see that. But yes,
right.
yeah.
Now, do you feel like, because that's why I don't know if necessarily, I definitely don't think it's humans that have, you know, just evolved into the grays, because I really do believe that they're either an artificial intelligence or a completely different species. But when they talk about, you know, ancient aliens becoming or walking among us as humans, you know, people that are in the government, people in the military. We've heard
yes.
so many things that how they're walking among us. What is your thoughts
exactly.
on that? Do you feel that these are different species, or do you feel that this is grays just, you know, manipulating DNA to create a human form? I mean,
so Nigel did believe that there were certainly hybrids amongst us, that they are actually creating a form of hybrid using those souls that they trap at the edges of atoms. It's way too complex to go into.
Yeah, that would be.
it's all in the book if anybody's interested. And interestingly, Professor David Jacobs,
oh, yeah.
who Nigel admired as an incredible researcher into the subject, he actually... Many pages in his books, he talks about this hybrid program and that he himself was astonished at the extent of it. He didn't believe it at first. And he thought it was just a, first of all, he didn't believe it. Then he thought it was just a one-off from one abductee. And then he got more and more stories coming in about a hybrid program in the future where we wouldn't know who is human and who is hybrid. They would
wow.
just be living amongst us.
Wow.
So, yes, that is something that is part of what Nigel believes is happening.
Well, I could go on more and longer and longer and longer, but I'm sure we have tons of questions. But I do want people to go out and pick up the book, Gray Aliens and Artificial Intelligence. And then you also have Gray Aliens and the Harvesting of Souls, and then the Song of the Grays. And before we go, what is the Song of the Grays? Is there like a... like a hit Madonna tune or something that
I don't know. I really don't know. So the publishers, each time the publisher has decided the title of the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Nigel chose a title, and they chose I think what they believe to be more commercial.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, but 2 points I'd just like to make.
Yes, please.
Quickly before we finish. So first of all, abductees. Okay, so Nigel's belief about abductees is not that they are people who are caught and trapped and naturally puppets of the greys, not at all, quite the opposite. It was Nigel's belief that abductees are those who come into a physical line, which is genetically intercepted by the greys, but they resist it. And all these experiments that take place on the ships are the greys looking at these people, trying to figure out what on earth is going on and why these people are spoiling what they're doing, basically. They're interrupters in the program, basically. Okay. So if there are any abductees out there, I feel this is a very important point to make, because they may be thinking, oh, my God, does that mean my soul is caught? No, not at all. Okay. The other thing I would like to say is really, really very, very important. It's all very well to have a theory about what's going on, but we need a solution, right, to about what people can do to avoid this happening. Okay, so basically the gray alien agenda is living and breathing and doing great with the way the world is going at the moment towards an artificial existence for humanity, with virtual living, outsourcing your whole being onto social media, living online, human avoiding human connection, okay, all of those things. If you look at a near-death experience, and many near-death experiences, the positive ones, what people say is they have a kind of life review. Mm-hmm. And very strangely, none of the important things that happen, you would consider important in life, great academic qualifications, awards, winning competitions, status, that means nothing. Okay, the only thing that's valuable, it seems, to those in those NDEs, to the people who experience them, is what they have done to improve the life of another person. That's the only thing that matters, or what they've done to hurt another person. Right. Those two things, they're the things they relive. And for me, that's the biggest lesson of what's ultimately important, to value who you are as a natural living being compared to these artificial creatures and compared to the artificial world that we seem to be going into, and to keep that precious and safe, and to value and to see it in others too, and to value them as natural living beings that have something that no artificial intelligence, no matter how supreme, can ever have. And if you do that, that the alien agenda won't touch you. That is the solution.
I think that's a great place to end on that one. That was great. And well, how do people find the books? I know you can go to, I'm sure, Amazon, but is there another place they can find it?
Well, if you can go to, I think there's links on the website, www.nigelkerner.com, for Amazon, possibly other bookstores. But if you just, any bookstore. So they're available in physical bookstores, online bookstores, pretty much everywhere. You should be able to get hold of them. The first book, Song of the Greys, it's actually out of print now, but you can get copies of that via our website if you write to the website, and we can send copies out of that.
That's perfect. Well, we want to thank you, Danielle, for sharing your 30 years of working with Nigel. And I mean, I'm sorry for the loss of. Sounds like an amazing guy.
He certainly was.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's the talks that you guys sit and had, I'm sure, was probably a big loss. But like you said, at least we have three books, and it sounds like more coming of his research. So, but thank you so much, and really appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you, Tony. It's been great speaking with you.
And you too. And I hope you guys definitely support and go buy these books. And just want to remind you guys that coming up March 31st through April 1st of 2023, we have the Parapod Festival. We're going to be having a film festival, a podcast awards, and we're going to be honoring the amazing Linda Moulton Howe for a Lifetime Achievement Award. And she is going to be speaking and at the conference. And you guys can get your tickets at parapodfestival.com. And there's going to be a stargazing, a spirit circle out at Vasquez Rocks, which is right just north of Los Angeles. It's going to be amazing. And you should check out the website, parapodfestival.com. So until next time, I'm Tony Sweet. Please tune in on Mondays at 3 p.m. for Minuteman with Robert Hensley. Parapals, Paranormal Pals, I guess it is, on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock. And Bonnie Burkert at 3 o'clock, Transformation for Truth Be Told. And, of course, me every Friday. Until next time, I'm Tony Sweet. We'll see you soon. This has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for watching. Recorded live at UBN Go Studios in Burbank, California.
He's a good
Join
guy.
Us on social media. Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. Instagram, Truth Be Told Paranormal.
Go to Truth Be Told Worldwide for more information on upcoming shows.